From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his seventh message in a series on the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Our text is verse 12, which speaks of God overcoming the seeming impossibility of Abraham and Sarah having a child of promise because of their old age. Their carnal effort to fulfill God's promise through Hagar demonstrates the truth that the flesh always opposes God's way of doing things. As Dr. Cairns is showing, this fleshly opposition manifests itself in man's determination to attempt to bypass the gospel and to save himself by his own works. Throughout the Christian's life, he will always have to battle the flesh. As the Bible makes abundantly clear, the flesh and the spirit are in constant warfare. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in John chapter 16 and verse 33. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Art thou asking the reason of this, believer? Look upward to thy heavenly Father, and behold him pure and holy. Dost thou know that thou art one day to be like him? Wilt thou easily be conformed to his image? Wilt thou not require much refining in the furnace of affliction to purify thee? Will it be an easy thing to get rid of thy corruptions and make thee perfect, even as thy Father which is in heaven is perfect? Next, Christian, turn thine eye downward. Dost thou know what foes thou hast beneath thy feet? Thou wast once a servant of Satan, and no king will willingly lose his subjects. Dost thou think that Satan will let thee alone? No, he will be always at thee, for he goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Expect trouble, therefore, Christian, when thou lookest beneath thee. Then look around thee. Where art thou? Thou art in an enemy's country, a stranger and a sojourner. The world is not thy friend. If it be, then thou art not God's friend. For he who is the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Be assured that thou shalt find foemen everywhere. When thou sleepest, think that thou art resting on the battlefield. When thou walkest, suspect an ambush in every hedge. As mosquitoes are said to bite strangers more than natives, so will the trials of earth be sharpest to you. Lastly, look within thee, into thine own heart, and observe what is there. Sin and self are still within. Ah, if thou hadst no devil to tempt thee, no enemies to fight thee, and no world to ensnare thee, thou wouldst still find in thyself evil enough to be a sore trouble to thee. For the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Expect trouble, then, but despond not on account of it, for God is with thee to help and to strengthen thee. He hath said, I will be with thee in trouble. I will deliver thee and honor thee.
Here.
As you listen to today's broadcast, we'd like to express our appreciation to those of you who make Let the Bible Speak a regular part of your day. Over the years since LTBS has been aired, we've heard from many folk who have been blessed and encouraged in their Christian lives through these programs. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring this Christ-centered preaching and God-honoring sacred music into your home, vehicle, or workplace. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, whose messages you hear on the broadcast. LTBS is also heard in many other parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, which is produced in Northern Ireland. It may be that you have wondered about the origin and purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church. Stated briefly, the Free Presbyterian Church is a denomination that stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. The Free Presbyterian Church of North America trains its ministers at Geneva Reformed Seminary in Greenville, South Carolina. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, please contact Geneva Reformed Seminary at their toll-free number, 1-800-877-5827. That's 1-800-877-5827. Or you may visit the seminary's website at www.genevareformed.org. Again, the website is genevareformed.org. Seminary officials would be happy to send someone to speak to you about the formation of a Free Presbyterian Church in your locale.
Perverted theology has its root in the flesh, and it is the old story of the flesh standing in the way of the promise and seeking to oppose it. There is not only a basic theological truth, but there is a practical devotional truth for God's people. You didn't get saved by the flesh. You are not going to be helped in your Christian life by the flesh. The flesh is still going to fight you every inch of the way. The flesh, which sought to stifle the promise at its very birth, will seek to hinder your progress in experiencing the blessing of the promise. The flesh is going to fight you every inch of the way. Sanctification, and I'll have a little more to say about sanctification in a moment, but sanctification is certainly the battleground of the Christian's life. Beware of people who promise you easy holiness. Beware of people who talk to you as if the devil had thrown in the towel and as if the flesh had no more enmity to the spirit. This is the battleground of the Christian's life. Your flesh is going to rise up against you. And that which is of the flesh, that which is not rooted in the grace of God, is never going to be of use to you in your spiritual warfare. That has far-reaching consequences. I said in Virginia Beach, I had listening to me a converted psychologist, this young man's father, and I was very glad that talking to him afterwards, he totally agreed with me, for as I admitted to him, had forgotten more in one night's sleep about psychology and its schools than I had ever learned. But I said then, if there's one thing that really grieves me, it is to see Christian churches, Christian teachers, and Christian preachers latching on to the obsolete notions of Sigmund Freud, who was a great enemy of the gospel, a hater of God, and who predicated his entire philosophy and psychology on the notion that salvation for man is impossible. There is no God. There is no Savior. There is no salvation. It's the basis of Sigmund Freud's entire belief. And it grieves me to see Christian churches take the psychological ramblings of a demented atheist who was forever in an awful quagmire of his own guilt and perversion and filthiness, and latch a text of Scripture onto them, and then tell people they're giving them principles to live by. God help the church when it thinks that a text of Scripture lifted out of its biblical context and latched on to the filthy thoughts of Freud or some of his followers or even of some of his replacements will ever give Christians what they need to live the Christian life. It'll never work that way. The flesh is against the promise. But of course, you need to know that in a very, very simple, down-to-earth way, you need to be battling your flesh. The works of the flesh, Galatians 5:19, are manifest. And Paul goes down what they are. He says they are these: adultery. I always wonder, there's nothing new under the sun. This is the apostolic age. This is Paul writing to the churches that we conceive of as being in revival. This is not the 20th century apostasy. This is the first century. And when he talks to them, he has to talk to them about adultery and fornication and uncleanness and lasciviousness and idolatry and witchcraft, and warn them these are the works of the flesh. Now I want to tell you that these things got into the early church, and we needn't be too surprised if we look around Christendom today and we find them in the 20th century church. We're not surprised, but still we should be scandalized, for they ought not to be mentioned among God's people. I'll tell you, they are opposing the gospel. They're opposing the gospel. The works of the flesh are doing more to hinder the cause of Christ than all the atheists in America. Your Madeline Murray O'Hare's couldn't do a thing to oppose the forward progress of the gospel of Christ if it were not for the terrible sins that are countenanced and embraced in Christendom today. And I'm not just talking about Baker and Swaggart and others of their kind. You can come an awful lot closer home. Get into Bible-believing churches, and you can see the shipwreck that is being made and the opposition to the gospel that is being raised by the ungodly living of professors of the truth. But we've got to get a whole lot closer than that. You see, you could sit there and preen yourself and spread your tail like a spiritual peacock and say, thank God I am not an adulterer, and I'm not a fornicator, and I'm not lascivious, and I'm not this. But he goes on, and in the same breath he says, hatred. Hatred. I quoted John Knox. If you remember when I preached the message on that part of the Scottish Reformation a couple of weeks back, that on his deathbed he could say that he who had been put in the position of having to contend with monarchs and churchmen and nobles and lords and landowners and common people, he could say that in the midst of all his contending, he had never hated any man. Oh, he had hated what they stood for. He had hated the Romanism that they were introducing. He had hated the wickedness with which they were seeking to oppose the Church of Jesus Christ. But to the end, and one of his last acts proved this, to the end he had a love for the sinner. And with his dying breath he was sending appeals to one of his greatest personal enemies to plead with him, yet to repent and embrace the gospel. Hatred. And yet you come into churches and you have one Christian hating another. You have denominations hating each other just because they don't call themselves Presbyterian or Baptist. You have Christians hating each other because one's a Calvinist and another's an Arminian. I happen to be a Calvinist. Well, I just don't happen by chance to be a Calvinist. I believe what the Bible teaches is what the world miscalls Calvinism. But I have a Calvinist come to me, and after all the years that have gone, they have such a hatred of John Wesley that they're willing to condemn him to hell. How different from the spirit of Wesley, who himself had shown quite a bit of that hatred in his day. And I believe had to be spoken to by the Lord. How different from his spirit ultimately when preaching at the funeral of Whitfield. He could say that he would not be near Whitfield in heaven. Whitfield the Calvinist, because Whitfield would be so near the throne and he so far away. In all our contendings, let us be Christ-like. Hatred. And then personal animosities. I don't like your personality. You don't like mine. Well, feel at home. I don't like it too much myself. I don't like what the way you go about things. I don't like what you've done. Hatred. Now, hold your beliefs. If they're biblical, don't let me or anybody else shift you from. But if you cherish this burning hatred, if you are rejecting those whom Christ accepts, you're wrong. That's it. He can't be wrong. He can't be wrong. And that's a hindrance to the gospel. I was brought up in a small church that had great potential. We labored, we built that church by the grace of God. We prayed, we visited, we brought people in. We gave, we worked among children, young people, adults. Whatever had to be done had to be done, and we did it with a love for Christ, and for the most part with a great unity and love for each other. But sooner or later in a small church you're going to get one person doesn't like another person. And we saw that come into that church. A hatred. And it split the church. And it killed the church. And then there was a separation. And then we would labor again and build again, and the work would get up again, and as soon as it got up, and it came back to the same person. I think the person really couldn't like herself, and I don't know. She had many wonderful and admirable qualities. And I was delighted to think of her and her husband and her family as very good friends. But man, again it started. And then again it started. And every time God built the church up, God just cut it down. The flesh opposing the spirit. Hatred.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.